Yeah.
Will Harry around on a gurney everywhere.
It'd be like weekend at Bernie's, except he's still half alive, you know?
That would be hilarious if he was on a gurney with his laptop having to do like crunches typing.
Now that we've had a good laugh at Harry's expense.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
So it's a big day today.
Oh
It is my second day of my 40s. I turned 40 yesterday.
oh,
Thank
congratulations.
you. 40 years young. I had a great
Wow.
evening, and I'll leave it to you to guess if I am hungover or not. I'm not saying.
I had a feeling last night you were like, send it.
I sent it and I didn't mean to do it. It just, I couldn't help myself. So
Oh my God, that's
it was great.
amazing. That's amazing. So
Yeah.
what'd you do? How'd you celebrate the big 4-0?
Best way I could is I came home from work. My wife had two Pliny the Elders in the fridge because to this day, just Pliny is that it's special to me. So I
Love it.
had two of them, and you know, having one of them is enough. But I was like, I'm going for two. I'm sending it. I'm 40. So we went to Coronado Island to a sushi place called Saiko Sushi, Saiko, which is phenomenal. And I get there at the sushi bar. It's just me, my wife, my son, and they have custom menus for each of us. It says old man menu, happy birthday, Clinton. And there was like 12 nigiri options. It was so cool. But then they started bringing flights of sake, and I can't say no.
Did you throw up
It's
in your
okay.
mouth a little bit this morning at all, Clinton?
I was telling David there's a meme that I saw yesterday. It's pretty funny. It's like hungover in your 20s, and it's a guy walking through, high-fiving, dapping everybody. In your 30s, it's the scene from The Hangover where the guy's walking around the hotel like woozy. And in your 40s, it's ET, like the sad part, you know? So.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, dude, thank you for rallying, right?
Yeah.
To be on the pod. We appreciate that very much.
I'm very chipper right now, so we're good. I got David
Nice.
here too, so we'll be okay. Thank you
Nice.
for having us.
Hey, David, how are you?
Doing great. Yeah, out here in sunny Palm Springs.
Nice. Nice. I've flown into there and, very nervous about all the mountains around as we were landing, but a great place.
Yeah, it can be a scary coming down and from that on those flights. It can be a bit rocky sometimes because of the way with those mountains. But yeah, it's beautiful out
It's
here.
beautiful. It really is. Well, let me get you guys an official BeerNet Radio welcome. Today on BeerNet Radio, we have CCO Clinton Smith and VP of Sales David Schreiber with Coronado Brewing Co., the very fast-growing SoCal brewer and maker of Weekend Vibes IPA and Salty Crew Blonde. They finished last year up double digits in their California backyard and produced, I believe it was about 42,000 barrels for a 10-plus state footprint.
Yes.
Cool. And you guys are like the sixth largest brewery by volume in San Diego. Again, up double digits in that backyard in Q4. So, excited to have you guys on. It's funny. I was just in Flagstaff skiing, and weekend vibes were everywhere, like at all the lodges. So that was cool to see. It seems to
That's great.
translate into your wider backyard than just California.
Yeah, I actually just got back from Arizona last night. We were out
Oh,
there
nice.
working with our distributor, Hensley.
Nice.
Yeah, Arizona's a strong number two state for us, really been doing great for us. We do some great things with the spring training with the Padres, so we have some partnerships there. So really great to see that it's out in Flagstaff too. That's always fun to see it out there.
Yeah. Well, and I was with a friend yesterday, and she's in the industry. I won't say who she is, but she was like, craft beer has gotten so boring. Like, all the same brands are growing, and like everybody comes up with the same new thing. And I actually thought about Weekend Vibes because I was like, it's such a great name, and you guys have built a platform around it too. And it's about fun, right? Like Weekend Vibes, literally about weekend vibes, right? So yeah, I guess you
There's a
guys are
strong
doing something.
emotional connection with that one for sure. I mean, I have two sisters who are 26, and both of them and their friends, like I go and hang out with, I love my sisters, and so I'll go drop in on them, older brother, and they have weekend vibes. And I didn't, their friends brought it to their place. So
Nice.
it's that state of mind of owning the weekend, which I think we've talked about before. It's really cool how that It's an award-winning beer, obviously. It's fantastic. But yeah, the name, home run, everything about it, special. So I do want to say something too. So when a couple of weeks back when you guys had Rob on, he was talking about his visit to San Diego, and I was thinking, this is like a movie. This is so bad. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. But one little bright spot, so I have to just do it for Rick, because we always got to talk about Rick. But he just drops in the middle of it that he picks up the surfboard from Rick. So yep. Of that crazy story, that was the one good.
I know. I picked up that. I was like, what a good dude Rick is, keeping his board for him all year, right? Yeah. That is sweet.
Yeah. Harry was like, we need to have Rob on and tell this whole entire story. And I was like, are you sure Rob wants to get on and relive all that? I mean, it was pretty awful. Like you said, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Rob's the best.
My anxiety would have been sky high. Like the keys, like of all, it's insult to injury. You take the keys. Like
I know. Can you imagine Rob walking around without a penny or identity to his name and not being like, do you know who I am? Which he would never do, right? But how hilarious. I mean, sad, but hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see where to even start. So you guys, Weekend Vibes and Salty Crew are doing really, really well in your backyard, right? They're up double digits. I think I don't know, 20, 30, 40% clip. But I'm curious, is that translating to your larger footprint? Obviously, you said Arizona is a strong number two. But what about the rest of your, 10-ish state footprint? Are you guys seeing as much success there as well?
Yeah, I would say, so we're in 13 states. We're going to be going into our 14th with New Mexico fairly soon. And in most every state besides Hawaii, Weekend Vibes is our number one seller. Okay. And it's doing well. We're not really declining in those markets. There's still room to grow. I mean, obviously our priority is really building around our backyard markets. And when I say backyard, it's not just San Diego, it's all of California, which is that's a huge market. It's a lot for us to tackle. And we know that there's plenty of room for us to continue to grow and develop our presence in California. And then obviously Arizona and Nevada, those are two really strong markets for us. And Weekend Vibes continues to do great things, growing double digits, some of them triple digits in like Nevada. It's been really strong performance. Right now in those markets, it's still mostly 16-ounce cans, six packs and draft. But we've really just started to expand here in California into more package types for the Weekend brand family with Weekend Vibes. And now with Big Weekend now being a big part of that. The Big Weekend has been, we launched it towards the end of last year in Q3, and, we had some high expectations, but it's surpassed everything that we thought it could be. So that brand also is translating really well into the adjacent markets as well. So we're really building it out a little bit more. We're going slowly because we don't want to overextend in it, because our product is not cheap and, shipping is not cheap. So we try to make sure we're making the right moves in the right places.
How about dialing it back to California? Are you guys getting any big legs up in spring resets?
Yeah. It's been a really great, we've got a lot of great buy-in. With our expansion with Weekend Vibes, we added the 12 packs of 12-ounce cans, which is our first time doing that in a 12-ounce can. And we've gotten a lot of great ads coming from most of our key players with that package. And those are already starting to happen. We had some great meetings already, in preliminary sales have been really strong, even without having full distribution and without having any kind of ad activity. We're in a game on the 16-ounce six packs in California. And Salty Crew, we just got some great ads up in Northern California too, which was a big priority for us this year, was really getting up into that NorCal market, getting them buying in and trying to make California, all of California, to be our backyard. Some of these markets up there, they try to stay hyper local, and there's a lot of local brands in Northern California, just like there's a lot of local brands in Southern California. But I think we're trying to really translate to be a California brewery.
Breakthrough. What else? I'm curious. I mean, obviously, California is a very important beer market, right? We trade Texas and Cali trade as the biggest beer markets in the U.S. I think you guys usually win, but that's fine. And hopefully you'll come here soon. But anyway, what else generally are you guys seeing up and coming in California? Because, I mean, a lot of trends do come out of California for beer and BevAlc.
Yeah, California, there's a lot of things happening. The, what's really special is there's still new craft breweries opening. And that's great to see because at the end of the day, like craft, like the spirit of craft is still very much alive. While sometimes the narrative you see some of the declines, you know, craft was down 3% in California. There's still breweries opening and they're finding their own way to be unique and have their own identity. So I think that's still very special to see that the openings are outpacing the closures. You do see a lot of thoughtful innovation into fourth categories with a lot of these company or brewers in California. So like we've gotten into cider, we've seen other companies jump into things like cider, RTDs and do them with craft artisanship, which is really great to see. There's a lot of new partnerships with brands, you know, going beyond just the beverage, but standing for community or standing for a purpose or a mission. So you see a lot of those things and bringing people in to the fold. So, you know, it's very much alive. And it's exciting. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, all the success that's come, it's been through focus and it's been strong focus. Anytime we're going to talk, we're always going to talk about Weekend Vibes and Salty Crew because we're very committed and see a long runway. As David mentioned, we see our backyard is California. You know, 5 years ago, if you asked us, you know, who we were, we would have told you we were a San Diego brewery, but we very clearly are a California brewery, not just how we see ourselves, but externally as well. So, you know, I think just being focused on California and making sure that we're supporting these adjacent markets correctly, because, you know, David and the sales team have done such an incredible job of keeping our focuses in this state and translating them well adjacently. So, I think, you know, for us, there's a lot of opportunity to keep growing. There's 40 million people in this state. There's a lot of opportunity and we have a lot of runway ahead of us. So, you know, the first step that we needed to get done last year was to solidify the Weekend brand family. And that was the introduction of Big Weekend. And, you know, the thought was, is will the consumers be able to connect Big Weekend and Weekend Vibes easily? And it was honestly, I mean, the hard work of David and our marketing team and it seamlessly it happened. And you saw the fans that had an affinity and appreciation for Weekend Vibes want to see it to where here we are 9 months later. It's our third largest brand. It accounts for almost 12% of the business. We had our Super Bowl ad, our first ever Super Bowl ad with the largest grocer in Southern California, which I had to pinch myself to that we are at that point of trust where Big Weekend was in the ad bucket. And just to see the impact and the results of seeing those two brands together, they're each a different occasion and offering. And regardless, we want people to stay in our brand family. If we don't have this offering, it's this. And we haven't expanded it as wide as maybe some others because it goes back to focus. There's a lot of opportunity, as David mentioned, with the new 12 packs and continuing to build the story on Big Weekend. So really fun start to own the weekend, as we like to say, starting this first quarter here.
Yeah.
And to add to that too, you know, the Super Bowl ad is a great example of, you know, you're talking about trends in California. That retailer has really made a priority of focusing on 16-ounce six packs as their primary like craft package, which really benefits us because that's been our kind of, we've been pioneering that package since we launched Weekend Vibes in 2018. And for them to really buy into it, it's been interesting to see because obviously us and a few other breweries have been doing it for a while. Now there are a whole bunch of other breweries that are trying to tag along and get into those kinds of ad buckets that these retailers are getting behind. And they see, this retailer specifically sees a 16-ounce six pack as something that they can make a splash with in craft and help grow the craft category, which we're really excited about.
Just kind of picking up there and zooming in on this, you know, Southern California beer landscape. I mean, like Clinton was saying, there's, you know, so many craft, tons of Beyond Beer, and the dominance of Modelo kind of hit before any other region. Do you feel like you're competing in the future there compared to everywhere else?
I would say yes. I mean, and We are, because Modelo is a household brand, and it's a part of the fabric. I mean, 50% of the population here is Hispanic, and that's just a huge brand that resonates beyond just the Hispanic crowds. And so it is. I mean, we're just trying to get share of beer, and there's so many more. We see it in the numbers. People trade across the categories more than ever, and so to just be able to have those opportunities to have your beer in someone's household, it's hard because a lot of people want kombucha in their house, or they want to have spirits. So it is, but at the same time, it just, we continue to be who we are and do what we do and be true to what we are about and represent. I think people see authenticity. You know, yeah. The whole partnership with Salty Crew has been fantastic because I'm wearing their apparel, by the way, no accident. Salty Crew is blossoming in California. I mean, they are so fast growing, and they have a wide audience of fans. And so we've been able to have drinkers who maybe drink Modelo or continue to drink Modelo, but they find Salty Crew because they identify with what that brand represents and that whole ethos of love on the ocean and adventure. And so they might bring, you know, Modelo, but they also bring a Salty Crew, and they discover our brand, and they might go find Weekend Vibes. So ultimately, I think all of us, I think if people are drinking beer, it's a win for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask, you know, finding growth in addition to IPA nowadays in craft is kind of, you don't see that very often. So you were mentioning like, the doors it opens with consumers, but can you just expand on that with consumers, retailers, wholesalers to have, you know, hey, we're growing IPA and we're also growing a blonde, which I don't see that yeah, often anymore.
It's definitely been great. I mean, it all boils down to us having great relationships with our retailers and our distributor partners, like you said. And that's something that we have that not a lot of brands do. You know, having, I know a lot of brands have been trying to kind of follow a model of finding that partner like we did with Salty Crew, but I think what we did was organic and it fit for us. And I think people see the authenticity in it. But you know, we also are supporting our distributors. We made a point to say, like, this isn't going to be something that we're going to just ride a wave of a hot brand. We knew that Weekend Vibes had some heat. I mean, when I joined Coronado, you know, I saw the potential in Weekend Vibes, and it was growing really, really fast, but it was, let's put some fuel on that fire and make it go even faster. Salty Crew had kind of just begun, and what it's turned into is really this kind of, we treat it as a standalone brand. So it's almost like we have two separate conversations with our distributor partners, with our retailers. And actually now we have three conversations because we also have cider. So it just keeping that share of mind and finding ways to just pull more from our partners and get more people talking about Coronado Brewing Company and what we're doing. You know, I think that's really the key, and there's no, you know, magic bullet that's going to help people find that extra category that's going to grow, because it is a tough category to compete in. I mean, 805 is a monster in the blonde ale category, and we know that there's plenty of beer drinkers that appreciate that category. But it's also a category it's craft, and it's, you know, craftsmanship. It's a silver medal winner and GABF. But we can then also reach out to a consumer that maybe has never tried a craft beer because they know Salty Crew, and now they're coming over to the craft category, spending a little bit more on better beer. Not to say their beers are not as good, but just on craft beer and local brands. And I think that's something that we're really working on, is getting that local consumer to appreciate locally produced products.
Another non-IPA that y'all broke into as of late is the lager Nado. Okay. How's that doing? Because I feel like we've seen and heard a lot about easy drinking styles kind of, I mean, it's clear with a Salty Crew, but also, you know, light lagers taking back off in craft. So what are you seeing there?
So Nado is undoubtedly the brewer's favorite beer. It's such a delicious beer. And we launched it with the intention of truly letting it just grow organically. Because we launched Big Weekend last year as well, Weekend Vibes and Salty crew, we expanded pack types, and we've just really been putting a lot of focus. We strategically said, let's let this be a slower play and really start building a good nucleus in the home market. So we've seen it perform in the chains that it's in locally in San Diego and in the broad market very well. So we feel it's time to give it more attention and focus. So one of the challenges, and in hindsight, probably would have done this differently, was we wanted to almost give it its own standalone with a 12 ounce 6 pack, as the rest of our core portfolio minus Salty Crew is 6 pack 16. So it doesn't really sit there in the cooler with it. So we're looking to make some changes with that and move it into a 6 pack 16 ounce later this year, and also put a higher emphasis on prioritizing that with our distributors and with our retail partners. So there is a lot of untapped, and we see people, you know, Modelo is a lager, right? One of the biggest drank beer in the U.S. And we see some opportunities with that and new occasions for drinkers who are looking for that style. So for us, we just internally are going to put more focus on it and take it from just letting it organically bubble to now seeing that it has a lot of opportunity, because at the core of it all, it's a wonderful beer. I mean, it's awesome and our team loves it. And when our team gets behind it passionately, we can take it to wherever we need it to go. David, anything else you'd say?
We actually just won a bronze medal with it last night at the Brewers Cup of California.
There we go.
At CCBA. That was something I just got a notification of. So that was pretty exciting too. But, you know, to add to that, Nato is a style that is just, it's approachable, and we know we can do more with it. It's interesting how it's hitting certain markets. Like we're selling a lot of it in Hawaii. It's done really, really well out there. That's a market that, again, they prefer that some of those lighter styles out in that market for us, and it's been performing well. You know, so it's one of those things where we find the right places where people can buy into it. We just haven't put that prioritization behind it because we've been trying to keep our distributors focused on the core items that we really need to build on right now. You know, that's what's driving our volume and velocity. So that's been our priority, but we do see this one as an opportunity to build more with. And, you know, like Clinton said, that package type change could be a big, big move for us. And we see that potentially becoming one of our, you know, it could be a fourth, you know, priority on that chart for us in the future.
Curious, talking about the future. Yeah. You guys mentioned the cider, right? And we've tried the cider. It's good stuff. Some people are saying that this year, next year could be like a really big year for cider. How much run room do you guys think cider has in your backyard, you know, with your brand?
Oh, we think there's a lot. I mean, it's something that we've been talking a lot about, is how do we make cider a bigger player, a bigger part of our portfolio? It's, you know, we've been making and selling beer for 28 years. So cider is new in the grand scheme of things, but we're really learning a lot. Our head brewer and cider maker is, you know, he's got a lot of cider making experience. So he's coming in and we're all learning a lot about it. This year, we've done our first real innovation in the cider space that we're launching into the market. It's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. It's a strawberry watermelon cider. So that's going to be one of our first, it's going to be called our small batch cider series. So we know there's a lot of runway there. We're going to be doing a few of these small batch releases. We also have some other core items that we're toying around with to see what that could be. We're also could use some of the small batch releases as test batches for what could potentially become one of our future releases. But you know, our best seller right now has been Nice and Dry. We've really been able to find some great, you know, great accounts, both in the on-premise and in, you know, off-premise grocery, where it's pulling really, really well. And you know, we're already the number one Southern California producer in grocery data in Southern California. And with us, with two, so we see there's a lot of opportunity for us to build on that and potentially expand into more package sizes, more styles, more flavors. We do see the opportunity in that, and we want to make sure that that's a big priority for us as we look into 2025 and into the future.
How about any other innovations? Or are you guys going to kind of focus your innovation on cider so that you're not too all over the place, or are you looking at other, like, verticals, if you will, right, to get into?
I think we're always going to be looking just to make sure that we're staying ahead of it. I mean, David mentioned it multiple times. I might have said it, but we keep saying the word focus because I think that's been one of the key components as we've been able to really focus on the priorities that we believe are going to help us continue to grow. But that doesn't mean that we won't be looking into other areas as well. You know, we've had conversations about non-alcoholic before. You know, we see that continuing to grow while being small. It's going to continue. I really believe in that area. Hop waters. I mean, I drink the Hoppy Refresher probably daily. It's wonderful. And I think there's probably an opportunity for a regional to come in and do something there. So, you know, we have these discussions, but we have to make sure that internally we have the bandwidth and the ability that if we're going to do it, not to just go throw it at our distributors and expect them to go do it or our retailers, we need to have a full baked plan. So, you know, David mentioned the innovation on the cider, and that for us is really new because we've been so hyper-focused on just building out the two core brands, Nice and Dry and Superfruit. And there's a lot of learnings along the way. I can tell you that our cider has evolved in quality since we've started, and it continues to get better and better. It's a whole nother art, and it takes a lot of mastering to really get it dialed in. So I feel like we've gotten to a point where the quality is really high, and that we're starting to really build new cider fans. Like, it's not the Coronado beer fans that we're trying to shake over. It's really trying to establish credibility with cider fans. And so, you know, we've been really methodical about holding off on adding more SKUs in there because we just want to make sure we can build and have a good foundation. So the two limited offerings, you know, already we've had retail partners like Whole Foods just jump on it and see the opportunity. Our friends at Schilling, Coronado and Golden State, we all did National Cider Month last October, where they featured our ciders in all California stores. And that was such a huge opportunity for us to get that exposure. So I really believe in cider, and I think you're right. I think we're going to see that evolve over the next couple of years. And I think, you know, we have the fortunate position of being ahead of it and having the learnings in place, and there will continue to be learnings. But by innovating and keeping it fresh now, we're ready for that. And we can handle that.
Here's my, well, real quick, not to speak to the cider, but to speak to what you said about NA. Are you guys going to call it Not the Weekend? I think you should.
No, let's write that one down.
Weekday vibes.
We talked about it. How do we put it in the weekend brand family?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, weekday vibes.
Yeah, weekday vibes. Yeah, that's right. Workday vibes. Yeah, we've toyed around with a lot of things there. But, you know, if we're going to get into something, we want to make sure it's the best quality possible. It's not like we're going to jump into something quick and, you know, try to make it happen because it's the hot thing. We want to do it the right way and dive in fully. And that's the way we're handling cider right now, is we're really jumping in with both feet and making that a big priority. And, you know, I think when and if we do move into a non-alc space, I think we'll take the same approach as well. So
we will be ready for it. One of the things that, you know, I think we had talked about last time was big opportunity for us was C-Store. You know, C-Store is a really nice bright spot here in California craft. It's up 9% last year, and it's continuing to grow. And David, you know, has really been vocal about, like, hey, if we want to find a different entry path into being able to perform at a better level in this channel, we need to look at new package types. And so when we kicked off the Salty Crew 19 2 ounces last year, that really made a difference and got us into the door of many of these convenience stores, because it's like getting a draft handle at a bar. There's only so much space that you can work with, and it really needs to perform that real estate there. So expanding on the weekend, right, with new opportunities and occasions and C-Store with those is also going to be a big part of this year's work and I believe success. We just kicked off the big weekend and Weekend Vibes 19 2 ounces in January, and the buy-in from our distributors and retailers has been phenomenal. And I think it's going to offer a good amount of trial, because there are plenty of people out there who have still never picked up a Weekend Vibes or a big weekend, and that trial to spend $3.99 is, you know, it's a little more digestible before you go pay $15.99 for a six pack. So that trial opportunity is really huge for us as well. So we'll have those packages at Petco Park this year, where they have over 3 million attendees and hopefully a lot of wins coming into that ballpark. And that's going to be an opportunity for us to get the brand in front of more people and again, offer new occasions to discover the brand. So, David, anything to add there with 19-2 opportunities?
No, I think you hit the right points. And I mean, the 19-2s, the cans look great on the shelf like that too. We've got, you know, I love the way we've designed the cans. They look great. Big Weekend is one that I know a lot of people have been really excited about because that high ABV single serve has really been a big player with some of the other craft brands. And, you know, we're following, and that's obviously a trend that we're trying to follow here. You know, we saw that Big Weekend as a player that could, you know, reach a new audience. You know, obviously we're not trying to trade a Weekend Vibe consumer to a bigger beer. We want to reach that consumer that's looking for the high ABV. You know, when we discontinued Never Better, which was our previous double IPA, we moved into Big Weekend, and it wasn't like we just were trying to do the same beer in a different package. We created a new product that was higher ABV that closed. It's at 8.8%. You know, we know that that consumer is looking for the bang for their buck a lot of the time. And we've been able to position that, you know, price wise right next to Weekend Vibe. So there's it's in price parity, and it's allowed for us to have some great trial with a new consumer base too. So that's really been the key, is getting those two side by side, getting people to pick up both and find it. So yeah, getting that trial.
Yeah. Has the interaction between Weekend Vibes and Big Weekend kind of been where you want to see it so far?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been the most promising part of Big Weekend, is we haven't seen declines at all. If anything, it's really increased our velocity on Weekend Vibes with the introduction of Big Weekend. The brand blocking of them next to each other, it just really pops. They kind of are inverse of each other. I got the two 19-2s here. So the two side by side, they kind of work, they play off of each other, but even the six packs too. You know, we've had some ads with sometimes Weekend Vibes is pictured, sometimes Big Weekend's pictured. And it's been interesting to see how that works. And, you know, Big Weekend has, every time an ad comes out with that product, it sells more. Every time we look at our sales week after week after week, we're seeing the velocity grow on that, but we're not seeing it come in at the expense of Weekend Vibes, which has been really exciting for us. And we think those two combined can really become, that's why we talk about that Weekend brand family. It's so important for our future. And there still could be plenty of opportunity to expand within that family. And that's really the goal, is to kind of set ourselves up to create that brand blocking and get more eyeballs on that section of the store. There's a lot of SKUs out there, so we got to stand out.
Well, I think that's most of what I had to ask. I guess the only other thing, Jordan might have more, but the last one for me would just be, you know, you guys are being, it sounds like, very concerted about your pricing, which makes sense. How do you feel like your consumer is feeling right now in terms of how price sensitive they are when they're spending on craft beer?
I think there is sensitivity. I think there's a lot of options out there, and value is important. So, you know, that the whole effort just to go into six pack 16 ounce, that offers value for the customer. And I think that was a big part of people reaching for the products. When we made that big move, it was definitely a big one. I would say it's not as profitable, say, for the brewery to do it, but at the same time, you can stand out and do something different and add value. And at the end of the day in business, it's always about trying to find ways to add value for the customer, add value for the distributor. You know, so I think that's a big part of it, and we have to be conscious of that, like elasticity, and it's all very real. So, but I believe too, we make really good products, and we stand by, and you know, what we put out there is we always feel we're going to be fair. So, you know, and kind of just at the core of all this, like when we keep talking about focus and authenticity, you know, one of the things we really wanted to make sure this year that we could reach consumers better was just never losing our core heart for craft, right? So now that, you know, we are a more established California brewery, we really take pride in reaching out to breweries who are just starting up, or breweries who are really trying to get it going and work together. I mean, the spirit of craft, what's amazing, it's plenty alive with collaboration, camaraderie, friendship. I mean, the help and assistance and transparency with financial or production or sales, that's very much alive. And I think authenticity, that's really what the next generation, Gen Z, will be able to see out of the companies that they want to support and put their money on and on the shelves. We just did a collaboration with Pizza Port, who are our dear friends, really admire what they've done and the way they've gone to market over the years. But we've just did one with Goldwater, small brewery in Arizona. So, you know, I think just being authentic and continuing to just continue to keep the spirit of craft alive at the heart of it is so important for any brewery. And for us, that's going to be really important. How can we help other craft brewers now, especially in hard times? Because it's important that there's unity and that, you know, that's what's made our industry so special. So I kind of went on a tangent there, but it's more true than ever. I mean, I really, really want to always be one to help, you know?
Yeah. To add to that too, I do think, you know, like Clinton said, the spirit of craft is something that is near and dear to all of us, I think. And, you know, I've been selling craft beer for, you know, 17 years. And, you know, I love the fact that, you know, I have friends from all different breweries and, you know, we worked at one place together and we kind of bounce around and everybody kind of finds each other and we still find ways to work together and help each other. Cause yes, there's a lot of competition out there, but at the end of the day, we're still like Jordan mentioned earlier, we're still trying to take share from big beer. That's our number one priority, is to take that share. You know, obviously we want to do whatever we can to make sure our beer is at the highest quality. We want to sell as much product as possible, but yeah, we want to do it with still keeping our craft culture alive and collaboration. Another thing too, to the point of value, I also wanted to hammer this, like, we've noticed obviously a lot of consumers shifting from drinking on premise because they're not maybe spending as much going out, and now they're drinking more at home. I think that's also really helped with us because of our package format, right? We have 6 pints coming to you, right? And if you can rationalize that in your mind, you get 6 pints of beer for $15, when you can go out and have 1 pint for $8 or $9 at a bar. And I'm not saying go out, don't drink at the bar, but those consumers are already doing that. We want to sell the beer at the bars and restaurants as well. That's a big part of our growth. But we do, I think that's a big part of why that craft 16-ounce 6-pack has become such a big player here in California and Southern California specifically, is I think the consumers are rationalizing how they spend. And that's a really, you know, easy way to understand. I get 6 full pints of beer for this price.
I'd actually never thought of it that way, but that makes a ton of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we have these great, you know, when we have, you know, retailers that are supporting us with ad activity, it makes it even more enticing. When you can get for the cost of 1 pint, you can get 6 pints. It's just a great value. And I think that's a big reason why we've seen such great success here, as consumers have been shifting more towards grocery.
All right.
I got to ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you both familiar with these posters behind David here?
I was going to ask him, who's your favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Rizzo.
Oh man, that's a loaded question. I love them all, but I got some. I'm a GZA guy. I like RZA, GZA. They're all great. Old Dirty.
I'm gonna go Ghostface Killah.
I'm Raekwon.
I got to meet Ghostface once, and it was pretty special time. So he left my voicemail message on my phone.
Oh, sweet.
This is back in the day when we had, like, you know, you had to like have a voicemail, like incoming message. I was young and he left a voicemail. David's not here now. He's out repping the Wu-Tang for life. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. It lasted a long time until they went to visual voicemail. And then now I have the boring. I can't. Now I'm a professional. I got to be. Although I'd love to have Wu-Tang still do my voicemail message. So. Yeah.
You know what? We'll have Harry leave your voicemail message. It's just as good, okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. I always, it's still every time me and David get on the phone very often, and just I see those, I knew we would be friends when I saw that for the first time.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I love them.
That's great. So, well, cool.
You know, I would also just say, kind of as just a takeaway, like I was talking to David, it's like, you know, if we were talking to other breweries and they were asking, hey, what are you doing, or what can we do that maybe, you know, would help our position or our business, and if the foundation of it is strong partnerships, right? Like strong partnerships with your internal team. Like work, you got to have a good nucleus, right? Strong partnership with your distributors. It's more important than ever that you can come into your distributor and bring value, bring insights, and truly you are partners. So work well. You can't change your distributor, but you can change yourself and your approach around the way that you deal with your distributor. So strong partnerships with distributors, strong partnerships with retailers, understand their needs, understand what their goals are, and rather than just trying to drive what you want to get done, you know, strong partnerships with your external parties like Salty Crew, like lean on each other, leverage each other's positions and fan bases. So I think if people, you know, really can look at like, what can I really focus on to be great at what can I deliver? Like, how can I control myself to make better, stronger partnerships? It will truly help anybody in this world. And I know David, you know, has been instrumental in that guidance, having been on the distributor side of the world and a supplier, to understand being on the other side of the table where he's been there. It's been instrumental. And honestly, when we look at our numbers and the products are fantastic, but the people, and that's really important. And David could tell you it's our interactions are just as critical with people we deal with.
Yeah. We've got a great team, and you know, it's great when we hear from our distributors saying, oh, your reps are best in the market. You know, that's what we want to hear. And that's how we've been really prioritizing it. And what Clinton's point was is, you know, really making sure that we treat our distributors, that's our number one customer. It's really our only customer besides who's coming to our locations, right? So we really treat them that way. And our goal is to make sure that they see the value that we're bringing them. And you know, obviously right now we've got great trends. We're bringing them a lot of value, but you know, it's not always going to be that way for everybody. And you kind of have to always be able to, you know, outkick your coverage a bit and get a little bit more than you probably deserve, just because you provide that service, you provide that value, you provide that partnership, and there's trust there. And like I was saying earlier, you know, there's a lot of people that have been doing, you know, this one thing I love about the beer industry is the people. And it really is just how much we all care about one another. And I love going to these conventions where you see people, and it's like a family reunion, and it really is a special time. And I think, you know, as business gets challenging, it's important that we all remember how lucky we are to work in an industry like this. And I think I have to remind myself that often. It's because there are times where you get frustrated with how things are going, but it's really impressive that I'm really happy to have such a great, you know, support system and great community of people in this industry. So it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure our distributor listeners will be very happy to hear that, you know, especially since there's some franchise law, you know, stuff coming back up in the States. So you are their number one craft supplier, I'm sure. It's all about love, right?
Yeah, always.
So, no, but it's, you know, it's business, and you guys have obviously done quite well with it, but. So thank you guys. Always a ton of fun to chat with y'all. I'm sorry my daughter didn't photobomb this time, but I'm not sorry because she's not here while I'm working. But yeah, that was fun last time.
Likewise. We appreciate the opportunity to just, you know, talk about our story. And, you know, I'm confident that we'll have some great things to talk about here the next time we come together. And maybe there will be some changes or some new weekend, you know, brand family additions. But I can say that, you know, I believe we have a good plan and a lot of runway ahead of us, and we will we'll continue to remain focused.
Well, cheers. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah. Thank you, I'll tell Rick, send him your regards. Yes, I know he sends his.
Send him our regards. Absolutely. Please do. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And maybe sooner or later, you'll be drinking that our beer in Texas.
That's right. Yeah. So. Waiting for it. Let us know. Right.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Take care.